At this time, we're going to do things a little differently today because this is a service for the children as well as for the adults. Back in Jesus' time, when the children came to see him on the hillsides, a lot of the disciples would say to them, "Get the children away because they're interrupting our conversations, they're interrupting our learning." But a lot of what Jesus had to say was for the children, and they were listening intently to what he had to say. And he said that the words that he would speak would be the words that would bring them closer to him and have a walk with him. So at this time, I want all of our children, those that are willing to come up, not everybody said they were willing to come up, but those that are willing to come up, we're going to pretend like we're out on the hills, just like Jesus was. And though I'm not Jesus, I'm going to pretend to tell the stories that Jesus told. So if the children would come forward, because I want them to help me today with this little talk that we're having. So bring your chairs, children, and bring them close around me, because Jesus would sit on the hillside and the children would come so close to him. So we want you coming close so that, and get to a place where you can, there you go, that's really good. And so we're going to sit very quietly while we listen. We're going to get that out of Isaac's face. Okay, maybe we might have to move you out a little bit. I don't know. Or we can put that up here. Here we go. That's out of the way. There. Perfect. So we're going to listen very quietly now, okay? So does anybody here, I want you to put up your hand if you have an answer, know what a parable is? Can we have you tell us what a parable is?
It's the way Jesus told stories.
Okay, I don't know if that mic is on or not. Do we have to turn it on or? I'm not sure. Anyway, okay, there we go.
It's the way Jesus told stories.
Okay, do you know why he told stories in parables? Okay, why would that be?
Because he wanted people, because like with parables, people listen more than it does when he's speaking about how it would really work.
Okay, so it's like today or any other day when I'm telling you something that you're interested in, something that you know about, then you can understand and relate to it, right? So we have, say, Svetlana. She told me today she just got two new goats. So if I told her a parable or a story about goats that relate, that the story was about Bible things, but yet I use goats to tell the story, would you understand it a little bit better? You'd certainly be interested, wouldn't you? You'd be, well, you don't know. There are stories in the Bible about goats. You know that? And when I was raising my family, sometimes I had to tell them things that were not, like they were doing things that weren't really what they should be doing, and I had to correct them. Now, instead of coming in and just saying, "You shouldn't do this," or "You shouldn't do that," I tried to tell them a story, maybe about something I did when I was a child that made me regret doing the things that they were doing. So I tried not to make it about that they would feel hurt. So I softened the blow by telling them a story. So the people in Jesus' day were farmers. They were carpenters. They were people that worked in the vineyards. They were people that did all sorts, shepherds, and they understood those things. So Jesus used those things to teach the stories to help these people understand what he was trying to say. And one particular story, the first one that Jesus told, was about a sower. Now, do you know what a sower is?
Yeah.
What was a sower?
Someone who sows clothes.
Someone that sows clothes. Okay, well, that is a sower, but this sower was a little different sower. It was somebody that would plant seeds. So we would call it a planter today, maybe, but it was called a sower back in the day. And they had a bag that would go around their waist and over their shoulder like this, and they would go through the fields because they didn't have tractors and stuff like that. They would go through the fields and they would take a handful of seed and they would go like that. And then they'd take another handful and go like that. And they would walk all the way through the field sowing their seed. And some of the seed, see, because they didn't have tractors or anything like we have today. And so some of, and this would be barley and wheat and things like that. And some of the seeds would go into the ditches or on the wayside, they called it. Okay? And then other seeds would fall on the stony ground, and where the stones were, the soil wasn't very deep, it was just shallow. And then other seeds would go into the deep earth. And Jesus said that the seeds that fell on the wayside, what do you think that was representing? Does anybody have an idea of what it represents?
The people who are not following God.
The people who are not following God, the ones that went on the wayside. That's a good idea. Yes, that is good. The people that don't understand and they allow Satan to take control of their lives, right? And then we had ones that fell on the stony ground. Now, what is on stony ground? Because some of you helped me, like these are my grandchildren, some of them, and some of them helped me grow things. Now, if we put it in a stony ground with not much soil, what happens? Does the plant grow?
No way.
Does it come up, though?
Yes, it does, but it dies.
It comes up, but it dies?
Yeah.
Why does it die?
Because there's no nutrients.
No nutrients. Okay, so if we were telling that story to somebody that we wanted them to understand about God, what would you think that would mean? If there was no nutrients, what do we consider? The seed in the Bible means God's word. So if there's no nutrients, what do you think is happening?
Satan's taking control of your life.
Satan's taking control of your life. That could be, yes. That's true. And so how can Satan take control of our life, do you think? What do you think? Savannah, do you know how one way Satan might take control of your life? Now, anyway, maybe it might be that you're going to be doing things that they're not wrong, but you're not studying your Bible or you're not learning about God because you're not taking the time with Him. You're taking time for everything else, but you're not taking time for God. And so, can you get a very good understanding of the Bible if you don't take time to read it? No, but back then they didn't have a Bible. They had a scroll or whatever. But if they never learned the Bible stories and they never learned how much God loved them, they could never know what they were missing out on, right? And so that would be something that falls on the stony ground. The roots can't go down very deep because they don't have anything to go down to. And they can't get the nutrients, so they don't grow. Now, there were other ones that fell amongst the deep soil, but when they fell there, the weeds came up and it grew all around them. Now, what do weeds do? I want somebody different to answer this time. What do weeds do?
They take over all the vegetables and it's hard to find the vegetables and then they stay there and they don't go away.
Okay, they take over all the vegetables and they choke them, don't they? Now, what do you think can choke your Christian experience? What can choke your Christian experience?
Satan, not reading the Bible and most of that thing.
And maybe looking at things and doing things that aren't bringing us closer to God, right? And so, I'm just looking. Yeah. And so, then there were the seeds that grew on the good ground. What do you think those seeds represented? Yes.
Represented the good people who love God.
Okay, they represented the good people who love God. And those people that, there's my glasses. I was looking for my glasses so I could see. They represent the good people that love God. They spend time in God's word or they spend time trying to do things to help other people, right? And to make other people get a Christian experience. And that might be in just might be in reading your Bible. It might be in sharing the word with other people or whatever. So that's what those people represent. But when it comes time for the harvest, what gets harvested? Do the weeds get harvested? I'm going to give you the mic, and you can pass it around to everybody. You just answer that one for me there. What gets harvested?
Vegetables.
the vegetables or whatever that you're growing and you want to have a crop of, right? Carrots, potatoes, whatever, right?
Cheese?
No, I don't think so. All right. So now, then there was another. That was one parable that he told about the sower. Now, how many of you like to build things?
Me?
Oh, you all like to build things. And back in Jesus' day, they built things too. Now, there was another one that he told about a builder. And this builder, he built houses. And guess where he built his house? On the beach. Now, do you think that was a good idea?
No.
What happens when you build your house on sandy land?
It gets
washed out and goes away, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And there was another builder, however, he thought he would build his house on a nice solid spot, and he built it on a rock.
A big rock,
yes.
A humongous rock,
and it was solid. So when the wind and the storms came, don't play with that because you might pull it out. When the wind and the storms came, what happened with the one on the rock? It stood firm, just like Isaac. It stood strong, and it stayed in place. What happened to the one that was built on the sand?
Fell down
and slid into the water, didn't it? Now, I want everybody to listen, because Jesus told that story. What do you think he was talking about? What do we know the rock represents in the Bible? Does the rock represent something in the Bible, Isaac? Okay, get the microphone. We'll get you to listen.
God's rock.
God's rock. What does a rock represent, though?
The church.
Oh, the church. Okay. God's word and everything. And if you built your house upon God's word, what is your house, do you think?
I know.
The church? No. What's the house?
You.
You. Okay. So if you build on God's word, and God's word is the rock, what does that make you? A strong what?
Foundation.
A strong foundation, so a strong Christian. So when all, you thought about that, did you, Mason? Oh, okay. So when all the winds, what do winds represent in the Bible? What would you think that, oh, Isaac got lots to say this morning.
Satan.
Oh, Satan, okay. Winds could be things that Satan brings your way and temptations and stuff like that. When all the temptations come your way, what if you're built on a strong rock of Jesus? What happens? The wind doesn't blow you away. And you stay strong, and you still stay with your faith and your trust in God intact, don't you? And that's what Jesus was trying to tell his friends. He said, he's trying to tell them, if you have a strong foundation, you will be strong even when the trials come your way. So what do we learn from that here today? We learn that if we have trials and temptations during our time, we will be strong if we've learned to put our faith in Jesus, don't we? There was another one. They were shepherds, okay? Not goats, sheep. They were shepherds, and there was a man that was very wealthy, and he had 100 sheep. That was a lot of sheep, right?
Can I tell that parable?
Yes, Savannah. One went missing. Pardon? Oh, one went missing. That's right. He told the parable about one lost sheep. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You guys stay quietly. I'm going to tell you something. I had sheep when we lived on our farm out by Bellevue. And one Sabbath, we were in here to church, and my sheep got away. And they ran down into the town, into Bellevue, down by the beach. And my dad discovered that they were loose. So he went after them. And he went down there with a bucket of feed, and he was calling them, and he was chasing them around. He chased them around for 3 hours. That's a long time, isn't it? And he chased and he chased and he chased, and they would not come. So finally he said, forget you, I'm going home. And he said, you can stay there, I'm finished. And he walked back up over the hill to head home. And when he turned around, guess what? The sheep were chasing them, because a shepherd that has sheep, the sheep know their voice and they follow. They don't get herded, they follow. So God, Jesus, is the good shepherd.
They were
That's right. He was chasing them, so they were afraid. But when he decided to go home, they knew he was leaving, and they followed him. So this shepherd had 100 sheep, and they followed him home. But guess what? When he got home, there was only 99 sheep there. And there was one missing. And so that shepherd didn't just close the gate and go to bed, did he? Because that sheep was precious to him. Every sheep was precious to a shepherd. And it was his job to look after the sheep and to keep them safe. So he headed back out into the storm, and he started calling for that sheep and looking for him everywhere. He stumbled down over the rocks and the cliffs, and this is the story Jesus was telling. And he fell down, and he scratched himself, and he got cut on the thorns as he went along. But he did not give up. He kept searching for that one lost sheep. That's how precious that sheep was to him. Nope, this is the story Jesus was telling now. We're getting mixed up now in the two stories. This is Jesus now, or the shepherd. He's looking for this one lost sheep, and he's calling out, and all of a sudden he hears, baa, baa. And what is that? And he listens, and he starts to follow where he hears it coming from, because the shepherd heard his voice. The shepherd was calling out, and the sheep heard his voice, and he started to call back. And then the shepherd went, and he found that one lost sheep. He picked him up, he put him on his shoulders, and he carried him ever so gently back to the stable. Their shepherd, yeah. Yes, yes. So they know one another, right? And so in this parable, Jesus in the Bible is the good shepherd, and the sheep are the people. And these people understood the value of their sheep. So by him telling them this story about and telling them that he is the shepherd and they are the sheep, then they begin to understand how valuable they are to him. And how precious they are to him. And when he brought this one sheep back to the fold, that sheep, he cleaned him up, he nursed his wounds, he looked after him till he was as good as he was before. So let me ask you, Svetlana, I'm going to give you the mic and then you can share it with somebody else if need be. If you were that sheep and you had lost your way and you had left Jesus' side and you had gone off in the world to have your own fun and forget Jesus, that represents the lost sheep, right? Because you're out of the fold. You're not going to attend church anymore. You're going to go off and do your own thing. How do you think Jesus feels about you after hearing that story? Do you understand how Jesus feels about you? What would he do for you when you came back? Would he sit on the other side of the church and not talk to you? Or would he be happy to see you come through the doors? He would throw a party, exactly, because he would be so excited that Svetlana came back, and that, because he misses you when you're gone, and he wants to save every single one of us. So those people being shepherds, do you think they understood that story? Okay. Now I'm going to tell my own parable, and then after that, I'm going to tell you a couple more of Jesus' parables. Okay? So my own parable is about, let's say we're listening to the news. And all of a sudden we hear about this bad flu. Oh no, you can't interrupt. Yeah. Bad flu, yes. This bad flu broke out, and it's over in Thailand. And we heard that these people got it. There was 30 people that got this bad flu. And why did that hit the news? That's no big deal. People get sick all the time. But then the next day we hear that 3,000 people had that flu. And then we hear that 10,000 people had the flu. Does it sound familiar?
Sounds like COVID.
Well, let's keep going. Then we hear people are dying. And they're dropping dead. They might only have the flu for a few days and they die. And everybody is dying and getting. Then we hear it's skipped over to China and it's skipped over to Russia and it's skipped over to England. We hear it's traveling through the world and everybody here in North America is getting afraid. We don't want it here. Don't anybody come here. And then we hear it's here. And people are dying so fast, even worse than COVID. They're dying everywhere. And the doctors said, if we can find one person that has good blood, it's not contaminated, it's really good blood, and we have to test. If you haven't got this flu yet, come in. You might have it, but not know it. But if you think you don't have it, come in and be tested. Because we need just one person. If we can get one person's blood, we can fix and find an antidote for this. So everybody is lining up to go to this place, and this family decides they're going to line up. It's a mom and a dad and a little boy. And everybody is lining up to go get tested. And everybody goes in and gets tested, including this family. But they've been testing for months already, and they have never found anybody that doesn't have the marker in their blood that would cause them to have this flu. So they haven't found any what we call pure blood yet. And so this family goes home, and couple days later, they get a phone call. Your little boy is the one we're looking for. His blood is pure. Can you bring him back to the clinic? They tested him again. He still got the pure blood. So they say, now we need you to sign these release papers because we're going to use your little boy's blood to have a cure for the world. So the parents are signing the papers. And the doctor comes in and he says, I'm sorry to inform you. We thought when we were searching for somebody as a blood donor, we thought that it would probably be an adult. We didn't think it was going to be a little boy. And the parents thought, well, no big deal. I mean, it's only given a little bit of blood. They said, no, we need a lot of blood in order for this to work. So we're going to need to take all of your boy's blood. So you understand, if we take all of it, he's not going to live. And the parents thought for a long time, and it made them really sad. And they talked to the little boy, and the little boy, they were all sad. And the little boy thought, if it means saving the world, I will give my blood. And so did the father and mother say, we will sign the papers. So they signed the papers, but then they had to leave during the procedure. And so they said goodbye, and they left. And as they were leaving, the little boy is crying out, don't leave me, don't leave me. I don't want to be left here alone. It's making me sad, don't leave. And he's crying for his dad to come back, don't leave me, don't leave me. But the dad is not allowed to stay, and he can't look at his boy because he knows he's dying and he's sad. And so he turns his back and he walks away, and the little boy is crying. But he still can give up if he doesn't want to do it. And the doctor said, are you sure? And the little boy said, yes, if it means that I'm going to save the world, I will give my blood. And he died there, giving his blood for the world. It's a parable. So what was a parable? It's a story to help you understand something. So what do you think I'm trying to get you to understand in that?
Oh, I know.
Yes, Mason. You want to hold the mic so the people can hear you because we're online.
That you're a mad scientist.
No, not that I'm a mad scientist. Yes, Ethan.
That God sacrificed his life so everybody could have a second chance.
Okay, yeah. Jesus sacrificed his life, didn't he, to stop the flu or to stop sin from spreading and to be able to have a chance to take us home to heaven, right? So do you understand? Did you feel that because you could relate to it? Did you feel a little bit more? Because you understand what COVID is and you understand that people are dying. And you understand all that. So could you relate to my story better than if I had just told you about Jesus dying on the cross?
Probably.
Yeah, because you understand it a little differently. You can understand your dad or your mom having to leave you alone in a hospital room Well, somebody took all your blood in order to be able to save somebody else, can't you? Yeah, but we can understand. When we have a parable, we can understand a lot better. And so that's why Jesus told about the parables. Mm-hmm. If you were already dead. Yeah, well, this case, he wasn't already dead. So now let me tell you another one. Yeah. This one is an exciting one.
That story just then, and you said, boy's blood was pure blood. I was like, they would need like a lot of that. If there's like 10,000 people, they need like 10,000 cures, and that's like a lot of blood.
Yeah. So they had to give it all. Okay, so we're going to list quietly for another one now. It's called The Hidden Treasure. That was another one. Now imagine, there's a field out there, and this man was a hired hand. That meant he was hired to go and plow the field for the farmer. And as he was plowing, guess what? His plow struck something. And when he looked down, it was a treasure box. And when he opened it up, it was a big one. It was full of gold and silver and jewels and all kinds of special stuff. He thought, how am I going to get this treasure box out of here? But I can't take it. It's not mine. I'm on somebody else's land. So what he did, he buried it up again. And with excitement beyond, he ran home and he looked at how much he had in the bank, how much money he had. He didn't have enough. He talked to the man that owned the field. Can I buy your field? And the farmer thought, that's kind of strange. This man that works for me wants to buy my field, but sure, I'll ask a little bit higher price. And if he wants to buy it, I'll be more than happy to sell it to him. So he went back and he found out he had to pay a lot of money. And he didn't have the money. So what did he do? He took everything he had, his house, his donkey, his cart, his plows, everything he had, he sold it so that he would have enough money to go and to buy that piece of land. Now, why do you think that was?
How big was a treasure chest?
It was a big, huge treasure chest. Full, yeah. So why would you think that he would sell everything that he had? He wanted the gold, right. He wanted the treasure chest. So
this is what I would do. I would get the treasure chest, and then I would...
You got to hold the mic.
I would sell the treasure chest, and then sell the property, and then get a big house.
Okay, but he had to get the property, first of all, in order to get the treasure. So he sold everything he had to get that. Now, what do you think that represented? What did the treasure represent?
I have something else to say. It's just he could have bought the land, sold everything he had and bought the land, got the treasure chest and the land, sold the land for a lot of money, and then you have that money with the treasure chest.
Well, yeah. So what do you think the treasure chest represented? Okay, let me tell you. The treasure chest represented we're talking Jesus stories now. So treasure in the Bible, what do you think it represents? Heaven, right? And this man, he sold everything he had to get the treasure. Now, okay, so let's say you guys here, okay, if you know that heaven is still available to you, and it was this big treasure, wouldn't that mean that you'd do anything to be able? I think heaven is the biggest treasure we can ask for. So, Svetlana, you can take that. Yeah?
I do everything. Chicken.
Oh my.
Dinosaur.
Okay, we gotta listen now. So we would sell everything we had to get a treasure that was on this earth, but would we give up everything that we have in order to get the treasure of heaven, which is the greatest treasure of all? Not family, you wouldn't give up, no. But It just shows you. See how much easier it is to understand when you hear it that way? And that's what Jesus was doing. He was telling all these stories so that the people that were there, the children, everybody could understand how important it was to gain heaven. And so what we have to do sometimes here on earth, it's not that the things we do are what gets us to heaven. It's the things that we don't do that keep us from a connection with God. And so we see all this stuff and we know how important it is to have that connection with God. And that's what Jesus was trying to teach. So sometimes when you go about your day and you go to school and you're talking to friends, could you use some of this to share with others? Like we heard Eden's story this morning about how she told her friends about God and how that she's sharing Jesus with them. And I think each one of you, I've heard Svetlana talk about how she shares about God and stuff. And sometimes when your friends don't understand, maybe you can share a story that will help them to understand, just like Jesus shared his stories. And if you want to, you can go into your Bible and you can look for all these stories. Now, there's one last story and then we're done. And it's about a rich man that had a field. Again, we've got another field. And he hired somebody to come work.
Field.
Yeah.
Like, is this the most terrible one? The whole
sun? Yep. So, we have this rich man. He owns a field. And he hires, he might go to the marketplace and he finds Ethan there. And Ethan is not doing anything and he needs somebody to work in his field. So he says, Ethan, I will give you $100 if you come work for me today in my field. Is that okay? And Ethan says, sure. And they shake on it. And Ethan comes to work for the farmer for $100 for the entire day. Mason? But he gets back to his farm and he realizes Ethan isn't going to get the work done. He needs somebody else. So 3 hours, Ethan's already been working. He leaves, the farmer leaves, and he goes into the marketplace and he finds Mason. And he says, Mason, will you come to work to me today? I'll give you a fair wage. So Mason says, yes, they shake on it. And the farmer takes, listen now, boys, and the farmer takes them home, and Mason starts to work in his field. Then he realizes, I'm still not going to get the job done. So he goes back and he finds Svetlana and Eden and this little girl. I don't know your name. Carly. And he says, girls, will you come work in my field? Okay, now listen, guys, sit back. So they all come for a fair wage. We're going to, now remember, it's 9 hours have gone past. Ethan's already been working for 9 hours. And so these girls come. Then he has, oh, there's still a lot to do and I don't have much time left. Goes back and he finds Isaac. He says, will you come work for me for a fair wage? And Isaac says, yes, that's 11 hours in. Ethan's already been working for 11 hours. So the farmer gets back to the field, and at the end of the day, 12 hours, Isaac only worked an hour. Ethan has worked 12 hours. Mason has worked, how many? 9 hours. You guys have worked 6 hours. And the farmer starts off and he says to his accountant, he said, start to pay this fellow first. So he gave him $100. So Ethan over here gets excited and he says, if he got $100, I'm going to get $1,000 or more. Oh, yes, score. So he thinks, wonderful. But then the accountant starts handing out $100, $100, $100. No, $100. $100. Excuse me. So then, Ethan gets very angry.
You ripped me off.
Yeah. I've worked for 12 hours, and you only gave me $100. And Isaac's got $100, and he only worked for 1 hour. So he's very angry. And the farmer goes to Ethan and he says, Ethan, What did I promise you when I started to work? When you started working for me? What did I promise you, Ethan?
$100 an hour.
So why are you angry with me if I gave you what I promised? I kept my word, and I gave you what I promised. And these other people, I gave them what I felt was fair as well. And it's my money. It's my choice. I can give you what I want. And so do you see, do you understand what this parable was saying? That every single one of us are different. I might have been a church member and a Christian all my life. I might have been following Jesus my whole entire life. And maybe you came in when you were older, and then you came in when you were a lot older than that. And then Isaac didn't accept Jesus until he was dying on his deathbed. But we all get to go to heaven, even though we all come at different times to Jesus. But it's Jesus' choice as to how he rewards us for our faithfulness, because he knows our hearts. And this is what he was trying to teach the people, that each one of them has an opportunity to know him and to follow him. It doesn't matter where they came from, how wealthy they are, how poor they are, what time they accept him. They're all worthy. They're all acceptable in his sight. So even if you've left Jesus and you no longer are following him, but you change your mind and you decide to come back to him, he's there and he's willing to accept you, even if it is on your deathbed. But you wouldn't want to leave it till then, because it might be too late and you might not have the opportunity. So, Eden, one last thing, and then we're going to say...
The lollipops! You can't actually follow Jesus your entire life, because when you're a baby, you can't make a decision.
No, but at that time when you're a baby, you're still innocent. So at this time, I'd like each one of you to go back to your seats. Thank you so much for listening. You're a great audience. Just one more thing I'd like to share. A man and his son was a wealthy man. He wanted to teach his son a lesson. So he decided to take him to a farm where there were some poorer people living. He wanted his son to see how lucky he was to have what he had. So he took him out to this farm, and they arrived there, and they spent their time there. And the boy saw so many different things. He played with their dogs. He went out into their barn. He swam in their river that passed by their house. He spent some time out in the evening by the campfire. And then it was time for him to go home. And the father said, "So, son, did you enjoy your trip?" And the son said, "Yes, I enjoyed my trip." And he said, "Tell me, what did you learn about your trip when it comes to the things that you have?" You know, he was hoping that his son would say, "I'm happy that I've got all the things I have." The son started to talk. He said, "Well," he said, "what I learned," he said, "is that I have one dog. They had four. I have a big swimming pool that reaches all the way across my yard, way past the middle of my garden. They have a creek that goes on forever. We have imported lanterns hanging all around our house, and they have the stars. Our patio reaches way around our yard, right to the front of the house, way all around the back. It's beautiful, but they have the whole horizon. We have a small piece of land on which our house sits, and they have acres that go on and on forever. We have servants that serve us, and they serve others. We have food that we buy. It's all imported from around the world. They have food that they grow. We have walls to protect our property. They have friends to protect theirs." Then the son added, at the end, he said, "It just shows me how poor we really are." So it comes down to perspective, doesn't it? So when we look at our relationship with Jesus and we realize that he has done so much for us and we want to sacrifice for him, I guess when we look at the sacrifices that we make, like the son when he looked at the family that he went to observe at how poor they were and he realized how rich he was, When we look at the sacrifice we make, we realize how little it is that we are giving to God. And so our lives should be more focused on not what things we can get away without doing, but how much we can do for Him to bring others to Him and to help them have the relationship with Him that He wants. And I hope that that's our choice, each one of us here today. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you again for the lovely stories that you have given us and for the way that we can read them and understand you and understand the beautiful promises that you have of how you want to take us home someday to live with you forever. Help us, Lord, that we can share those stories with others and that we can draw nearer to you due to them. And watch us now as we go our way. We pray in your name. Amen.